following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Clogged injectors smooth the rough idle and restore lost power with Gum Out Fuel System Cleaner on sale for $3.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Improve your engine's performance. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today and pick up Gum Out Fuel System Cleaner for $3.99. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, folks. Terry Bradshaw here. Fan Appreciation Day is every day for my friends over at Ferguson. With Ferguson's Pro Plus, not only do you get discounts on services that help you manage and promote your company, but you can score points for cool stuff like sports gear, gadgets, trips, and more. Best of all, it's free to enroll, and you get 1,500 points for just signing up. Visit Ferguson.com and get in the game. When completions count, connect with Ferguson.
For a limited time, score double points on all American Standard products. Check out Ferguson.com/Pro Plus.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And Baylor will meet the third Big Ten team in the tournament, the Cornhuskers of Nebraska.
Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We are back at Cunningham's for day two of NCAA Tournament Week, and the games start to matter tonight. Jim Langan is in as my co-host on this special Tuesday. Damon Day switching days with us. He'll be back in on Thursday. So, Jimmy, you survived St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, I did. How about you, Doug? And all your jokes yesterday. I survived all those.
Yeah, they were bad.
No, some of them were pretty good. Some of them you were reading, I kind of got a kick out of. So,
well, thanks for being part of that. Well, we survived, and we're looking forward to get into actual NCAA tournament games. They begin tonight, Jimmy, with the first four. There are a couple of games. The Sweet 16 teams will be getting after it, and we will have those games for you here. The 16 seeds Albany and Mount St. Mary's will tip at 5:40. Then Xavier will take on North Carolina State, and that game is set for about 8:30 tonight when that gets underway. What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to those two games. I mean, maybe not so much the 16 seeds, but I'm looking forward to the 12 seeds, NC State and Xavier, and then I'm also looking forward to Iowa and Tennessee.
That's tomorrow night as part of the doubleheader coverage that you'll be able to hear right here on ESPN Radio. So we'll be making some picks today on the show. We're also going to talk a little football. We'll talk Husker football and Husker basketball with Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com. That's coming your way towards the bottom of the hour. And in a little bit here, we'll also be catching up with the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Daryl Morris, as they began spring practice over the weekend as well. Spring break will break things up here for both of those programs later this week. The Huskers will go Wednesday and Thursday, and then it's off to spring break, and we'll talk with Coach Morris about what's going on with his football team. Also, the NIT and Women's Selection Show out. And big news, mentioned it yesterday a little bit, Connecticut is coming to Lincoln. And, I mean, yeah, they have to win the first two games. But, Jimmy, what's the point spread going to be on Connecticut-Prairie View? Prairie View is 14-17, and they play the Connecticut women. I mean, this has got 90-20 written all over it.
Yeah, it does. You know, Doug, there are not near as many upsets in the women's tournament as there is the men's. I mean, it isn't even close. I mean, it is almost one seed, one seed, one seed, mm-hmm. one seed. And UConn, yeah, I don't know. Did they have that 45-point rule in that NCAA tournament? If not, you know. I know one time Amy Stevens was coaching at Drake, and they went down and played Tennessee in the first round. Do you remember that or not?
Yeah, that was close for quite a while.
Well, and Amy
and
said,
then it wasn't.
Yeah, but Amy said that that they treated her team it was first class. They gave him the best, you know, motels, gave him a great film room to go into. Tennessee just treated, she said it was just an absolute. So hopefully, you know, there's more things to who wins the game and et cetera and a thing like that. Just getting to play UConn and being on the floor and having that atmosphere. And I'm sure they'll try to treat them with as much respect as they can. But they got to win the game and try to get better for the next one too.
Yeah, the NCAA Women's Tournament bracket is out. Nebraska is a number 4 seed. They will be playing on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Los Angeles. And I'm going to throw this out there right now. They're playing Fresno State, and then NC State is playing in the next game against BYU. I've just kind of scanned all the sites for the women's tournament. I would venture to bet, of course, those crazy Nebraska fans in California, you just don't know, but who in Los Angeles is coming to watch those four teams play women's basketball?
What day is it on, Doug? Do you know what day?
It's Saturday and Monday. That's why they try to have these first and second round women's games at campus sites and places where there is interest in watching women's basketball. I mean, Los Angeles can't support an NFL team. Who's going to go watch the women play basketball? And I don't even – unless – I mean, non-California. Yes, Fresno is in the vicinity. But, I mean, there's not – this isn't UCLA, USC, Cal, you know, teams that are going to be impressive. It's going to be pretty quiet there, I'm afraid.
Yeah, you know, and that's the trouble with Las Vegas. Sometimes having things in Las Vegas, you know, hey, yeah, there's a few things to do in Las Vegas, and the last thing you want to do is sit, you know, for 2 hours and watch a basketball game at times, and depending on, like you said, who plays. So, yeah, it could be a very small crowd, you know, at those things, you know, and it just like the Nebraska baseball, if they were playing at noon on Friday, do you think they're going to miss the crowd there because of people watching something else that day? Or even the whole state of Nebraska does that, Doug, with Nebraska football games. In fact, there's a lot of weddings that get moved because Nebraska's got a home game, you know. So.
And speaking of baseball, tonight's game with Creighton has been postponed. They're going to try and play it tomorrow at 5:05 at Haymarket Park. So if you've got tickets, they're just as good for tomorrow. You can also use it for general admission to any other home or regular season game. So don't put on the parkas and go to Lincoln tonight because there is no baseball. Creighton and Nebraska will try and play in Lincoln tomorrow night. What a difference a day makes. They would have loved to have played yesterday. They'll play tomorrow at 5:05 in Lincoln. So that goes along to you. Back to the women for just a minute, too, Jimmy. If this was the men's tournament, I think there'd be more breaking down here. But with the women, they have to, and Connie, you even acknowledged this, they will not true seed you. I mean, they're not like the men. They will put you so that you're closer to home, so you can play at home, so you can play closer to home. And Nebraska, I think, seeing what Penn State was, maybe was deserving of a 3 seed. The bottom line is here, the 4 seed means if Nebraska continues to win, they'll get knocked out by Connecticut earlier than they probably should have. If Nebraska would happen to upset Connecticut, it would be one of the biggest upsets in the history. You know, I mean, it's just Connecticut just doesn't get beat, and they're undefeated, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be cool. But can you imagine if Nebraska could have kept going, Nebraska-Connecticut on a Monday night in an Elite Eight game in Lincoln, and Duke is in this field. Duke has knocked Nebraska out, so they could have moved Duke, brought West Virginia in. I mean, West Virginia's going to Baton Rouge. So, I mean, there's some things that the committee could have done to give Nebraska the 3 seed that maybe they deserved. Because you look at this, if this was the men's bracket, they would be saying that Nebraska is the last number 4 seed, which they are not the last number 4 seed, because the last number 4 seed would be playing the top team, Connecticut, as in
correct.
A true bracket.
That's so exactly correct.
This
yep.
is not a true bracket for the women as it is for the men.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one thing, I mean, just having Nebraska get anything, Omaha or when Nebraska or Lincoln gets a site like that, they're doing that because Nebraska's fan base is so good at attending events. And, you know, just by, you know, look at the Nebraska volleyball crowds, you know, at the games that they get compared to everybody else in the nation, you know. And but it's a compliment to the Nebraska people, the way they follow the Huskers, and they expect them to follow that tournament at a great deal too.
Let's go for our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What do you make of a possible rematch between Nebraska and Creighton in the third round of the NCAA tournament? That's what we mentioned yesterday. And again, remember, tonight's games and tomorrow's games are now called the first round. So that's why you have a second round and a third round, which is actually the second round, blah, blah, blah. Love it. 65% of the people said they love it. 35% said they hated it. Who was the biggest snub from this year's NCAA tournament? That is today's question. The four that are really kind of used here are SMU, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Florida State. Anybody there that you really, really, really wanted to see?
Well, I don't think anybody got snubbed. I really don't. But by the way the committee does it, I do not think anybody got snubbed. I do feel bad for Green Bay and SMU. I don't feel bad for the other two. The reason I don't feel bad for the other two is the other two had a schedule, and it was going to be fair, and no matter, and if they won so many games, they were going to get into the tournament. SMU and Green Bay, when they get to play somebody, guess where they get to play them at? On the road. They have to travel to get those wins. And I think that's what's fair, because I think SMU, and I know, I mean, we'd heard Larry Brown say that, and Green Bay, they try to get people to come over and play them. They want to play. Hey, could you come up here and play us? You know, but that was like Boise State. Boise State football, when they had to finally make that next move, and I even think Fresno State kind of a little bit in the same dilemma. They had to travel to knock people off. They had to
Gonzaga
be
Gonzaga basketball.
Yeah, there you go. Great. That's a great example. Where, you know, one year I know North Carolina did go to UNLV and play UNLV and lost to them. You know, but at least, you know, somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to step up and do something and go over there. And a lot of times, you know who that is? That's Michigan State and Tom Izzo that goes someplace and is not afraid to play somebody. And the NCAA needs to do that. The NCAA needs to encourage a Kentucky to do a 2-for-1 with SMU or somebody like that.
Yeah, recognize it. And yeah, recognize it when you go do that.
Yeah, and Green Bay. Because I think Green Bay and SMU. And the other thing about those two schools too, SMU and Green Bay, is they don't have a lot of success in other sports and get to go to a lot of tournaments and a lot of bowl games and yeah, college football and et cetera, you know. So that's why I feel bad, because, boy, they really were counting on this, and this would be so exciting for their fans and their fan base to get to do something fun like that.
Well, Doug and Daddy's show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. I've always stick up for the little guy, because that's where I've grown up. Little guy, smaller school, not the smallest. I mean, it was Class B when I went, but, you know, you've got a community of UNK, you've got a community of Hastings College, so we're used to working with and taking a look at maybe the smaller schools from time to time. But in this instance, when you go 24 and 6 in your Green Bay, you haven't played as many tough teams. So if you're Stephen F. Austin and you go 31-2, or you're, you know, 29-4, those are the teams I really look at. When you're Florida State, I almost double your loss total, because you are playing and you are challenged more. You know, Mike Krzyzewski was pushing for ACC schools, so maybe Florida State should have been in there. I don't know. We'll see what the listeners think. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. And while you're there, don't forget to get signed up for our Doug and Daddy Tournament Challenge, brought to you by our friends here at Cunningham's Journal, where we are broadcasting from all week long. It's the place to be for all the madness beginning tonight, as they have survived St. Patrick's Day. They did a great job. A lot of folks were out here yesterday at Cunningham's, so thanks to that. Our Tournament Challenge also brought to you by Bud Light, along with Papa John's, Russell's Appliance, and a whole lot more. We've got some great prizes, and you have to be signed up, obviously, before tip-off on Thursday. And as far as these play-in games, you just get whoever wins tonight and tomorrow, and they move on. You don't have to pick the Xavier North Carolina State game tonight. Jimmy, who do you got in the Xavier North Carolina State game tonight? This line, interestingly enough, all I kept hearing was North Carolina State, North Carolina State, and that they can win a couple of games. Xavier open is a 1-point favorite. They are now favored by 3.5.
I like Xavier and already have decided to take Xavier. Let's put it that way. And when I look at this and I just look at the entire bracket of what's going to take place, I think Xavier could go on and win again. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not afraid of Xavier at all. I don't know. At North Carolina State, I don't know how far they can go. But I do think Xavier's the type of team that could make a move. Them and St. Joseph's. St. Joseph's have beat them 3 times, I believe, this year, Doug. Other than that, Xavier outplayed St. Joseph on all the rest of the conference game. It was just those 3 games, head-to-head, they could not beat that team.
Well, we will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. UNK football coach Daryl Morris, Robin Walshett of HuskerOnline.com, and a whole lot more coming up live from Cunningham. Stop by and join us for a little lunch today and enjoy the March Madness.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
This next song goes out to someone real special, web developers. You've developed a worldwide web of convenience, and Geico.com is eternally grateful. Now everyone can pay bills, manage policies, maybe save big money on car insurance, all from the comfort of their desk chairs, recliners, and water beds. You're magicians with wands made of binary code, and that's why we're sending this next song out to you. For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com.
This is not a drill, folks. The Spring Into a Honda sales event means great deals on the Honda Civic, the most durable, longest-lasting car in its class, and loaded with standard features like Pandora? Whoa. Head over to the Spring Into a Honda sales event for 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers.
Pandora compatible with select smartphones, wireless carriers, rates apply, durability based on longevity, longevity based on IHS Automotive, Polk U.S. vehicles and operation registration statistics 1988 through 2012 for Civic and competing models. See dealer for financing details.
J-E-R-S-E-Y-S, go!
Lace him up.
Right away, three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
It's pull good. It over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer.
A wind advisory goes in effect for our area today as we'll see more clouds developing, along with a chance for some rain showers. Could mix it with some snow as we get into the afternoon. Temperatures stay in the low to mid-40s for highs. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 37.
Doug and Daddy Show, Jim Langan with you, our co-host Doug Duda here at Cunningham's in Kearney, where St. Patrick's Day has passed us by, and it looked like a lot of people had a really good time. I want to thank the folks here at Cunningham's for providing that great time, and seeing a lot of people yesterday. Continue to come on out. Got to eat every day, right, Jamie?
Yes.
The menu is so deep here, you can get whatever you want. You got so many good items on the menu. And, of course, it's the 17 days of St. Patrick's Day because you can't get it done in just one. There's some great St. Patrick's Day fare, Irish fare and food special on the menu. And you can still get your pizzas, your salads, your great burgers, of course, your appetizers, which for some of those you can create a meal as well with the Journal Bites and the Husker ribs and so many other things. The skewers are there for you as well, shrimp, chicken, steak, whatever it is you want. Check out the menu and enjoy lunch today or anytime coming in for the NCAA basketball tournament as well here at Cunningham's in Kearney. A couple of other sports notes. We've talked about the men's and women's basketball tournament, and we will continue to do this. Jay Williams, NCAA, was able to pick Nebraska to make it to the Sweet 16. He picked the Huskers to lose to Oregon in the Sweet 16.
Who's this? Who picked
Jay Williams, analyst for ESPN.
They, very interesting. We had somebody take an 11 seed and pick them away.
So. Yeah. So how about that? Somebody's got faith in the Big Red.
There you go. I wonder how many people have Baylor coming out of that thing winning that. Do you know?
Not very many. You know what I find even less? I hardly see any Creightons from the national analysts. They apparently are not on Creighton's side here. I mean, this is the team that's supposed to advance to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but you're not seeing very much of that. Yeah, I'm sure that Louisiana Lafayette's not getting a whole lot of attention either, though. But that does kind of interest me a little bit about Creighton, because I know somebody that's got them in their Final Four here, you know.
Oh, Jimmy, you like Creighton, huh?
I think that they have an opportunity to get there, and since we're from Nebraska and we're running a show from here, I'm gonna pick them a ways.
Well, I filled out my first bracket last night. Say what you will, I filled it out at some point in the evening last night, and there you have it. Yeah, I'm just saying, I've got the first ones out of the way.
And like you said yesterday, I'm sure it'll be good again.
Many more to follow. We are pleased to welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Daryl Morris. They got spring practice underway when their sun was shining and everything was great. Morning, Coach.
Hey, morning, guys.
Great to have you on.
Hey,
thanks for coming
coach,
down.
How you doing?
Good. Good. I'm glad to be here.
Did you guys do anything special for St. Patrick's Day yesterday, team-wise?
We had practice yesterday, so that was special enough, I thought. So the guys all wanted to know what the plans were, and to be honest with you, St. Patty's Day got right by me, so I did not know it was St. Patrick's Day.
You mean there was no shamrocks on the helmets or no green jerseys?
None of that. No, none of that. Nothing green in the urinals or anything. So.
Well, spring ball, and we always get the prospectus and look back at what's going on and what's coming in and things like that. One of the things that jumped off the page to me, and maybe I'm off, which has happened from time to time, fewer kids in spring ball right now for you for a variety of reasons?
Yeah, I think we probably have a smaller squad, a slightly smaller squad than maybe what we've had the last couple of years, perhaps. But, you know, we've got a large number of guys that'll be coming in the fall camp. We've got probably a dozen transfer type guys that'll be showing up in May and going through summer stuff with us. So you are correct. Our football team will look a lot different in the fall than it does at this particular point in time of the season.
So how does that affect what you do in the spring when you know you got some guys that are going to come in the fall?
The way we're approaching that is we are looking at some things that we want to take a look at, and then you might have to say to yourself, okay, you know, I like that scheme, but that's not the guy that's going to necessarily be doing it. We think so-and-so that'll be here next fall will be able to do that from what we know about him and why we recruited him. So we are looking at a couple things, and hopefully the guys that we're going to be able to inject into that situation in the fall will actually make it look even better than maybe what it does on paper.
Coach, I know you can't recruit from just one state. I mean, let's be honest about that. You got to get out and get people and play. Who are some of the players just in the area that look real good? I mean, I know we got Luke McNett. You know, we've got some linemen. The kid from Sargent played really well for you, you know, this year. Who are some other kids just in the area that you look at right now that are going, hey, they're a big impact player for us?
Well, I don't know that we have any local big impact player type guys. Now, we've got some kids, you know, that are going to be in our program that we think as they grow and develop, maybe a couple years down the road, we'll be able to contribute and be good, good solid MIAA type players. But you know, it's getting in the RMAC, we probably could have done that. This now, it's a little bit more difficult for us. Although you get a kid like Tyke Cozell out of Sargent, came out of a small school in Nebraska, but he's a quality football player. So we've got some of those kind of guys. We're just going to have to grow them up a little bit and see what they turn into a couple years from now. I was talking to a young man today who's just a junior, going to be a senior. He's only 16, but what's he going to look like when he's 20? That's what you're kind of trying to figure out.
Exactly. And, you know, and like you said, you know, a Logan Brodin, let's be honest about it, a guy like that, he can play anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, and, you know, Josh Rohde did a good job for you on the nose. You know what I mean?
You know, and Josh, we actually recruited Josh as a linebacker and then turned him into a down lineman on defense. So, you know, you never know about those kind of kids, what they're going to, you know, they're 16, they're 17, but there's a heck of a growth spurt that's going to happen when they go from 17 to 20 and they've been in a college weight room for about 2-3 years. So, you know, you just got to kind of wait and see what you got. You never know what you got in recruiting. You got to wait and see.
Well, you got the blueprint, and you hope that the final product is
some of the parts that you have actually go to the machine you're trying to build. Absolutely.
We're talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. You're a gutsy man. You're a gutsy man. You're moving all these quarterbacks to other positions. My God, you got faith, don't you?
Well, you know, I don't actually. But, you know, we're doing that. We've got a junior college. We got a commitment from a junior college young man from Orange Coach Junior College here the last week. So we feel like that's going to help us out a little bit. So there's just a couple of those. Sam Brower is an athletic kid. But he struggled doing the things we wanted him to do at quarterback. Might be hand size, maybe being able to handle the football out of the shotgun snap or whatever. But he's an athletic kid. He's a big kid. So we're going to give him a shot at free safety and see if he can help us there. Kellen Woodyard is a young man from Florida that was a quarterback recruitment. But we knew when we recruited him, he's extremely athletic and can already make us a better receiving core. Just by his athleticism than perhaps somebody we may have been able to recruit. So, you know, you have things that need to get addressed, and sometimes you can address those on the field but on your own football team. So we always look inside the squad first to see what we can fix, and then that gives us a better idea of what we really need to go out and recruit.
Coach Harper over at Hastings actually told me something that kind of stuck with me a little bit, and I'm sure every coach is it the same way. He goes, "We don't have a problem recruiting 6, 8, 10 quarterbacks because they're usually in high school the most athletic kid on the team."
A lot of times, yeah.
Well, pros and cons to that, or what?
Well, sometimes they're put at the quarterback position, and that's not really their college position. They're a free safety, or they're an outside linebacker, they're a running back, they're a slot receiver, they're an outside receiver. But a lot of times, when you get in some of the smaller schools, where the head coach at the smaller school has to be creative and he does have to try to figure out, how do I get the ball in this kid's hands 35 times a game? Yeah. Well, I can snap it to him 55 times a game, and that's one way to do it. So a lot of times the quarterback does end up being the best athlete, and he's playing quarterback when that's not really the position he's going to play in college.
What about the guys you do have at the quarterback position this spring?
Well, Bronson Marsh, you know, unfortunately has a little bit of a shoulder issue going right now. So Bronson's not probably going to throw a football this spring for us, which is quite unfortunate. And I'm a little distraught about that, but can't be helped. So we'll move on. Tyler McEwen, the young man that played a game or two for us last year, has taken a lot of reps with the ones. And then we go back to Davis Brindle, who is our everything, punter, wide receiver, quarterback, running back. I mean, that kid, you know, we can't get rid of that guy. So he's taking some snaps for us. So, Bronson, I wanted Bronson to get a lot of work this spring. That's not going to happen. So we're just going to have to make that up throughout the summer and throughout the fall. But we can already tell that we're going to be a lot more gifted at the wide receiver position. We're going to be a lot deeper, a lot more athletic. And whoever is playing quarterback for us next fall will have a lot more things to do, and we'll have more options for him in terms of how to attack defenses. They're not going to be able to just man us up and, you know, load up the box and shut down the running game and make things difficult for Romero Cotton. And, by the way, we want to give him props for winning the national championship at 197-pound deal. But so we feel like the wide receiver position is going to help us and help whoever's at quarterback a lot next year.
You know, Coach, last year when you had a lot of success, it was being able to just load it up, bring a big man in there, kind of run a fullback position with him, let him lead block, and you know, and then just dominate the game running the ball. Had a lot of success when we did that. I know that's what you'd like to do. I mean, when you get a 21-point lead, it's nice to do that and use the clock and et cetera.
Sure.
You know, but did you kind of – did you take a look at the defensive backs in the last 5-6 years and go, hey, this is someplace we really got to start recruiting, getting some money to players at the defensive
back
position?
Well, yeah, I mean, we had to – and I've been saying this for the last couple of years. And it was – you know, to some degree, it's been the perfect storm against us. I mean, we entered the MIAA probably – about a year late, or maybe even 2 years late, where we could have used, you know, Rustin Dring and Spitzelberger at quarterback, a 2 year starter going to his third year. So, you know, we entered the league at a difficult time for us, and we were not as athletic as we had even been in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference before. So, what we've been trying to do the last couple of years is get more athletic as a football team, and that certainly starts in the secondary. You know, the heavy formation we use with Cole Manhart, that was basically just to see if we couldn't win a couple ball games. I mean, we weren't gifted at the wide receiver position. People were not playing us the way we want them to play us in the secondary. So we had to just see if we couldn't mash them. And we were able to do that a couple times, but it also made it extremely difficult when they know that's what you're going to do. Then there's nine guys standing there, and, you know, that's a lot of individual battles you got to win. So we want to get out of that. We don't want to be painted into that corner. We still want the three-headed dragon. We still want the kid outside that people have to be concerned of. We still want the tailback that can hurt you, and we still want a quarterback that can hurt you. If you're not paying attention, he'll take off and run on you, but also be able to throw the ball. So we're not quite there yet, but I think we're getting closer.
Talking with Daryl Morris, UNK head football coach. We're live at Cunningham's for the Doug and Daddy Show, NCAA basketball tournament all week long. But football is going on, and some folks, and you've been very high. Cole Manhart got so many honors after last season. What's his future at the next level look like right now? Because
you've touched on that a little. If you just look at Mason Brodeen's been in the NFL for 3 years, and Steve Gooden started at left tackle for the Redskins in their last game against the Giants, they actually won that game. So I just absolutely believe that Cole Manhart will get a ton of traffic from the NFL guys. He's 6'6". He's 305 pounds. He's strong as a Clydesdale. And he's a great human being. His moral character is out of the roof. So I really believe Cole will be in somebody's camp this next summer and into the fall. And I would be shocked if he doesn't stick on a squad somehow, either as a practice guy or even as a player.
And you mentioned Romero Cotton. He's not the only football wrestler. What kind of action do they see in the spring?
Well, you know, right now we told him, hey, when you get a couple days rest, we need you to start coming to football practice. And Romero will probably, if we had a practice today, which I don't think we're going to because of the weather, but I think he'd have been there today, just at least in a helmet trying to get going. We need to talk to Daniel DeShazer and see what his schedule is and when he wants to start coming to practice. So, you know, those guys have been going since last summer. All the way through football season, and I think Romero took 3 days off and Dapp took 3 days off and they jumped into wrestling. They're a couple tired guys, so we've got to be prudent about that, and we'll bring them on into spring ball when they're ready.
We talked the last time was we had the big get-together here at Cunningham's when Fort Hays State came in. We had a letter of intent signing day for you guys.
Yep.
Now maybe you've got a couple of practices and you've got to see these guys on campus. Have any of these guys, I know – there's very few that maybe came in, but can you tell us of your impressions of maybe the ones that are here?
Well, very few have come in, so we're still waiting to see these guys when they get here in May and then obviously in the fall. So unfortunately for us, the one linebacker that did come from Syracuse, New York, has decided not to play, so we lost him. But we've got, we've got some guys that I'm very excited about. I think will change. And we went into recruiting going, you know what, this is different for us, but we've got to get some guys that can change this football team. And I think we've got a half dozen to about eight guys that will show up on a game field quite rapidly for us if everything goes to plan and help us be a much better football team than we were a year ago.
Yeah, you know, in the offensive line, too. I mean, I thought, you know, and that's, again, depth-wise was kind of a problem when I just looked at things. You know, guys were getting out there, and you're going, you're trying to play five guys, and now you got to get to about eight or nine guys. Is that what you think? Is that another thing you need to do?
Yeah, we got to get to at least 9 to 10 guys that can go in a game and play, and you don't lose because they run out onto the field. We were fortunate last year not to get – I mean, Cody Wheeler, our starting center, went down, and so, yeah, we've got to get deeper in the offensive line. That's a position where guys do get injured. I mean, there's a lot of people on the ground, knees get tangled up on. So we've got to get deeper. But we got to get deeper everywhere in our football team. But the offensive line and the defensive line is a crucial part for you. I've said this forever. You're never going to be any better than you are up front on either side of the ball. And we've got to have enough guys to withstand some of the injuries that are just going to happen.
Well, Coach, you've never made an excuse for this, but this is a fact. And I don't know if the people understand this, that the schools in Kansas and Missouri get quite a bit more money just from the legislature to use for sports. And, you know, basically I'm talking about maybe $1 million. And then in the UNK for the whole program, we're not even talking $500,000. And I it's just amazing the difference, you know, when you're talking about getting the depth at some of these positions, because a kid goes, well, hey, I can go to Pittsburgh State and they're going to give me a 3/4 of a scholarship. And at UNK, I only get a 1/4 of a scholarship. I mean, let's be honest about it. You find that just almost like it's an unfair advantage.
Well, it's difficult. There's no question about it. But, you know, I'm excited about Mr. Polinsky being our athletic director. And to be honest with you, fellas, I've been talking about scholarship money for 10 years till the people are sick and tired of hearing Daryl Morris talk about it. So I'm leaving that up to Mr. Polinsky, and he's doing a great job so far. And that's his job now, and I don't have to be the face of that particular. I want to coach football. And I'm going to leave the money stuff and the scholarship business and all that kind of stuff to Mr. Polinsky and his senior staff and the chancellor and administration. And I'm going to coach this football team the best it can be coached with the resources that we have. And if it's not good enough, then we're probably not going to win enough games. And I'll be selling cars before too long. But you know what? I've got to get back to coaching football and not be a full-time fundraiser the way I've been the last decade.
Yeah, good point.
Well, Daryl, the last thing, we'll let you get out of here. Is there one of those countdown clocks in the office, how long it is to
you know what?
Beat
they're
defending
renovating.
National
we don't
champs?
Even have chairs in our office right now because we get new furniture. And thanks to Mr. Polinsky, new carpet, new paint, new furniture. So right now we're all just kind of sitting around twiddling our thumbs. That's why I was happy to come down here because this is the only place I've been able to sit down all day.
Is the old stuff going to Crocker's house?
I think it is going to Crocker's house, and he's having a garage sale in April, so you might want to put that on the calendar.
Daryl, we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys. Always great
continues.
To see you.
Thanks, man. The head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Daryl Morris. Spring practice underway, and we're always pleased to have a little bit of the coach's time. We are here at Cunningham's. Come on in. Enjoy lunch. Enjoy the NCAA tournament basketball games, and we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show. Robin Walsh from Husker Online when we come back.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
I've seen a lot of great-looking college football turf, so I know green. Hi, this is Greg Sharp. Going green with Johnson Lawn and Landscape isn't only the right thing to do, it's the responsible one. If your sprinkler system is not working properly, then you're wasting water. Johnson Landscape can diagnose and repair problems for a more efficient way to water your yard. Check them out at johnsonlandscape.net or call 237-LAWN.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
Golic, you know what traveling and basketball and traveling for business both have in common?
Sure do. A lot of business travelers end up feeling penalized for something almost every time they travel.
Right, but La Quinta Inns and Suites gets that, so they take care of one big problem with the LQ Instant Hold mobile feature that lets you hold your hotel room on your mobile with just your phone number.
You mean no credit card, just a phone number?
That's exactly right.
That sounds like a slam dunk to me.
If Instant Hold sounds like a slam dunk to you, let La Quinta take care of you so you can take care of business. Instant Hold a room like never before at LQ.com.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory goes in effect for our area today as we'll see more clouds developing, along with a chance for some rain showers. Could mix it with some snow as we get into the afternoon. Temperatures stay in the low to mid-40s for highs. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 37.
Welcome back to the Duck and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney. Cunningham's the loft, and when she gets nice, and they were able to be outside a little bit yesterday in the courtyard, outstanding place to be. Come on down, fill out our Duck and Daddy Tournament Challenge bracket. You can do it online at ESPNSuperstation.com, or if you're here at Cunningham's, you can fill them out. It's free of charge. Just put your email information. You got to put your contact information on there. So if you're a winner, we can get your prizes to you. And you can do it either way, either here at Cunningham's or online at ESPNSuperstation.com. How many people will take Nebraska? How many people will take Baylor? We'll find out. Let's bring in Robin Walshett of HuskerOnline.com to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Robin, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Doug. How are you guys doing?
Well, it's great to catch up with you. Man, did the women get hosed last night. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know if you were.
Yeah, they sure did, didn't they?
Let's talk a little bit about football, and then we'll dive into basketball. Anybody can follow Husker Online. Sean's, of course, got his daily Big Red reports during the spring season as well. And today talked with Riker Fife a little bit, and, of course, Riker being in our backyard, there's always that behind-the-scenes junk, and you know this, Robin. If Riker or any player doesn't think that they're eventually going to be able to get that chance, that they may look about transferring. And in the off season, I heard that. I'm not going to say quite a bit, but I heard the questions out there. Just where is Riker Fife right now with this football team?
Yeah, you know, I think that this spring is going to go a long way in determining that. I mean, he's getting just as many reps as Johnny Stanton is, really. And, you know, Bo Pelini has continued to praise him. And I think he's got probably the strongest arm on the team. And he's athletic enough to, I think, legitimately compete. But, you know, I think right now it's basically Tarmy Armstrong and everybody else. So it's just a matter of if Riker is comfortable, you know, continuing to, you know, be a second team guy, you know, basically as long as Armstrong's under center, just because Armstrong just seems that much further ahead of, you know, both Fife and Stanton. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I mean, basically how this, you know, competition this spring shakes out. I think that if he, you know, emerges as the clear number two, you know, he'll probably be a little more inclined to, you know, continue to battle it out, just because we've seen over the years that the backup quarterback is a very vital role on this team. So I think that, you know, the next couple weeks here are probably going to go a long way into answering all those questions.
Do you think, and I know we're speculating here, but that's what we do, do you think if Riker is not the number two quarterback, that might be it for him?
You know, yeah, like you said, it's hard to speculate, but, you know, I know that he would have opportunities elsewhere to, you know, have a much more prominent role, you know, maybe even a starting position somewhere, you know, at other places. But it's just going to come down to probably him and his family and, you know, sitting down with you know, Bo Pelini and kind of just addressing where everything is. So, like I said, there's still, you know, a lot of time left here, a lot of practices to go, and like I said, he continues to, you know, get just as many reps, it seems like, as Johnny Stanton does in practice. So he's been giving a full opportunity to go out and show what he can do. So we'll just kind of see how it shakes out over the next couple weeks.
How's this open practice thing working for you guys?
It's good. You know, it's for us personally, it's nice to actually know what we're talking about when we ask questions, as opposed to, you know, just hearing a rumor about a guy and then having to, you know, ask guys about him. We actually get to see if a guy is getting, you know, first team reps or is playing really well. And so it kind of gives us more educated questions, which, as you all know, is always a help for our profession. It's good just to, you know, especially my favorite part is towards the end of practice when they go good on good and just have the first team offense and the first team defense, the intensity when that period begins, the defense huddles up and starts jumping around, screaming, and the sidelines start cheering on every play. If the defense gets a stop or the offense gets a first down, it's really fun to watch. And, you know, it's some of the fun stuff at practice that, you know, we had never really gotten to see up until this point. So, you know, granted, we don't get to talk to assistant coaches anymore, but, you know, at least, you know, we get a much better idea of what is actually happening with this roster. So it's helped helped with both sides, I think.
Hey, Jim Langan here. Talk a little bit about Jack Dangwich, defensive end.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I remember covering him in the Shrine Bowl a few years ago, and he was just a big, you know, strong kid, and I really liked his work ethic. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, was going to give it 120% every time he stepped on the field, and I think that has carried on over to Nebraska and is paying off. He is absolutely huge. I mean, he's got the cutoff, like, practice jersey where it, like, shows his stomach, and he looks like when those mid-90s, defensive ends, you know, from back in the day. And, you know, Randy Gregory was absent from Monday's practice. We weren't able to confirm why, but I know a lot of guys are dealing with flu symptoms, so that could be it. But anyway, Gangwish was getting some first-team reps with Gregory out of the picture. I mean, just because they're so thin at defensive end. And so he's a guy that they like a lot. And, you know, with a motor like his, I think that he'll only continue to push people for playing time. You know, a guy like that, even if he doesn't see the field, the work that he gives, you know, the pressure that he puts on guys like Gregory and Greg McMullen, and even on the offensive line, you know, going up against those tackles like Alex Lewis every day in practice, he's going to make everybody better. He's a guy you just absolutely love having a guy like that on your team, because he's a total team guy, and he's going to work his butt off every time he steps on the field.
One more football question, and we'll get a couple basketball comments. Robin Walshett of Husker Online. It appears that they are specifically, so far in spring ball, taking time and effort on special teams. Do you agree with that, and what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much it's changed, just because, you know, we haven't really been able to, you know, see a whole lot in years past. But, you know, they're definitely making an effort, and they're addressing it right away early in practice. You know, they go through several different stations, you know, whether it be, you know, coverage or return units, and, you know, they have the kickers and return guys off on one field, and then everybody else that, you know, works on the coverage and return teams working on another field. And so they're getting a lot done, it seems like, in that regard. So it's no secret that is probably priority number one of what needs to be improved from last season. Hopefully that this is a sign that they're, you know, putting in the effort to get those issues addressed, because as we all know, that was definitely a heated point for fans over the course of last year.
Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's. Come on in and join us for lunch, happy hour. Watch the NCAA basketball tournament tonight. And Doug Duda, Jim Langan, joined by Robin Walshett of Husker Online. Let's get to the NCAA tournament, Robin. We were all there at Pinnacle Bank on Sunday night. Your reaction, because for a while there, we had all kind of, after Dayton's name come up and then BYU's name, I think you could have got a pretty good wager that we were going to Dayton to play either tonight or tomorrow. So I think for the media people and maybe even Coach Miles, that was the biggest shock. But once it settled in, what do you think of Nebraska's draw now that they have made the tournament?
Well, you know, going in, that's kind of what I had projected Nebraska would get, you know, that 11 seed and stay out of Dayton. And, you know, like you said, when that first 11 seed went off the board, and you know it wasn't Nebraska. I think everyone in the arena, all 3,000 or so people, got pretty nervous that you know we might be playing in a couple days down in Dayton, Ohio, in a play-in game. So it was kind of like that nervous energy when you know the other team makes the 8-0 run and you know turns a 10-point lead into two, and you know fans are just kind of there's a little grumble, but then when that second 11 seed popped up. The roar, I think, said it all, just for how appreciative and you know how monumental of a moment that was for the fans and for the team. It was kind of one of those things that you really had to be there to kind of get the full effect of it. But you know, it was just a really cool moment. I know the coaching staff had no interest whatsoever in playing in the play-in game. I mean, obviously they would have, but it's just such an unideal situation, you know, with the quick travel and you know, limited time for preparation and, you know, not really being able to get much of a scouting report. So they dodged a bullet with that one. And, you know, I think they're in a pretty entertaining, you know, portion of the bracket with so many different, you know, storylines, you know, left and right with that. And, you know, they're playing a tough Baylor team, but I think that they can match up well with these guys. You know, Baylor's a long, athletic, you know, team that runs a primary zone defense, which has given Nebraska problems. But you know, they don't really have you know the build of a team that's you know really beaten Nebraska a lot this year, which is the team that packs the lane and has a lot of 3-point shooters that beat you. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how Nebraska attacks that 1-3-1 zone of Baylor. You know, because they're going to have to knock down perimeter shots, and you know when they're on, that's you know when they're pretty much unbeatable. But when they start missing those shots early, they kind of tend to get frustrated and you know out of their game plan a little bit. So, I think it's a good draw, and of course, you know if they get through Baylor, there's you know, the potential rivalry game of the year in the next round against you know Creighton if they get the job done too. So, should be fun couple of days in San Antonio, that's for sure.
Rob and Jim Langan here. You know, I listen to the ESPN people talk about Baylor, and they say they might be NBA-type players. They got a couple guys that could play in the NBA. They really think they underachieved this year. Is that the team we want to play, or would we rather play somebody else?
Well, they're just so erratic. I mean, earlier this year, they were a top 10 team. I think they were up to number 7 in the country during non-conference play. Then they hit Big 12 play and they you know start 2-8, including winning one of their first 6 games. And so they were able to bounce back and then end up winning 10 of their last 12 games. So they kind of had a somewhat similar path to the tournament as Nebraska, just in terms of having an awful start to conference play and being able to you know rebound and get things going at the right time and keep their tournament hopes alive. But yeah, that skill and athleticism across the board is you know, exceptional, especially, you know, they have a couple guys. The first guy that stands out to me is their forward, Corey Jefferson. You know, he's averaging almost a double-double a game, the leading scorer. And then their big center, 7-1 center named Isaiah Austin. He had 114 blocks this season, which is the 6th most ever by a Big 12 player. And we all know the great Big 12 centers that have come up through the years. So that kind of says the defensive prowess he has. And then they have their guards. They have a couple of young guards that have really come along during this turnaround. So they're one of those teams that's peaking at the right time. So I don't think Nebraska should be you know, looking past Baylor by any means. You know, talking about playing Creighton, I mean, they're going to have their hands full against Baylor, no doubt.
Yeah, good point. And one other thing, and I know you'd have to speculate and just guess, but when the arena, how many people do you think from Nebraska and Creighton will be there? How many people do you expect? Have you heard anything? I mean, what do you expect that arena to look like?
Yeah, I think it's hard to guess numbers, but I think both schools are going to have great turnouts just because they travel so well. And, you know, really for Nebraska, this is just such a monumental event. I mean, you know, there's some, you know, students that weren't even alive the last time Nebraska went to the Big 12 or the NCAA tournament. So you also take into account that the Texans for Nebraska alumni chapter is probably one of the biggest out there. So there are going to be a lot of in-state people from Texas going to the game. You know, granted, Baylor has a bit of an advantage that, you know, they're just a day's drive away. But I still think Nebraska fans are going to show up in full force. And, of course, Creighton travels very well. I think Iowa State's going to travel very well. And, of course, North Carolina and Wisconsin. I think it's going to be a really fun environment just from the fan perspective, because you have a lot of teams that have exceptional fan bases. And it should be, for every single game that's played in that arena, a really raucous atmosphere, because, you know, like I said, there's so many storylines that cross over between each team that even if your team is not playing, you're going to have someone there to root for or root against. It's just because of all the history that, you know, these teams have with each other. So the selection committee did, I think, a really good job. I mean, just for an entertainment aspect of, you know, putting these teams together. And like I said, it should make for a pretty fun weekend.
Last minute here with Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com on the Doug and Daddy Show. Robin, is there, we've kind of talked about it, fans really can eyeball if you say, hey, Baylor is like who that Nebraska played. So is there anybody that Baylor is similar to that Nebraska has played, and who are you going to pick?
Well, okay, for first question, I haven't got a chance to talk. Tim Miles is going to talk later this afternoon, so he'd be the best guy to tell you that. But just from watching games this season, you know, the team that immediately comes to mind is UMass. You know, when you just look at, you know, 1 through 5, the length and athleticism that they have on the floor, I think that that's going to be pretty similar to what Nebraska saw. You know, obviously they lost that game, but, you know, they still end up scoring 90-plus points in that game. So that's probably the closest comparison just off the top of my head. You know, when you just look at the style that they play and the type of bodies they have on the floor. And as for who am I going to pick? Gosh, I don't know. I still haven't even filled out my bracket yet. I'm kind of waiting to the last minute to do that. But, you know, I think Nebraska has an excellent chance. And I think, you know, Las Vegas agrees. I mean, basically, Baylor's going to be regarded as the home team here, and they're less than a 3-point favorite. And so when you take into account the home court 3-point advantage that is, you know, put in those lines, it's basically a pick 'em game. So I think that as long as Nebraska comes out and isn't intimidated by the magnitude of the moment, you know, just because this is a pretty big deal, you know, for the program, obviously, if they can, you know, keep their composure and, you know, not have, you know, the type of collapse that they had in the Big Ten tournament against Ohio State, I think that this is definitely a winnable game, just because I think Nebraska matches up well, and I think that, you know, they can go toe-to-toe with Baylor athletically. And so I think if I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Nebraska, just assuming that they show up ready to play.
Well, let's hope that that's the case and that you're working again on Sunday down there in San Antonio. Robin, we always appreciate the time. And hopefully, man, if they could do something besides win just one game and maybe a couple, we can chat again about them next week.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, Robin, take care, bud. Have a safe one.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Take care. Robin Washington joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, live from Cunningham's. We still got one bit of work we still have to do today, and that is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. That's coming up next. Jimmy, though, we talked off the air, and I'll say, I think, off the air. But I said, I like Xavier tonight. I like Iowa tomorrow. And all of a sudden, now Iowa has a story, the quote, story. And the story is, for folks that don't know this, and this is what, you know, you can live in Omaha and say that you hate Iowa, you know, or you can be a football fan and say, I don't like Iowa. Well, then you get this. Fran McCaffrey, their head coach, who's got a little fire to him. I like that. And it's their first NCAA tournament game in 8 years at Iowa. Well, now his son scheduled for surgery, and that surgery for his 13-year-old son is set for tomorrow. And although your son is a little bit older than that, Jimmy, I mean, I know you can relate that if you were getting ready for probably the biggest professional event of your career, and then it falls on a day where someone in your family, and in this case his son, was going in for surgery, his 13-year-old son Patrick, removing a thyroid tumor tomorrow. So he's going with the team to Dayton today, then he's going back to Iowa City to be with his son, and then after the surgery tomorrow, is expected to go back to Dayton tomorrow night for the game. I mean, he'll be a wreck. This team's going to be playing their heart out for him. That's just one of those things that, you know, you hate to see, and you know, hopefully it's not serious, but anytime you're going into surgery, you're going into surgery. So there you go.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, and I know what you're saying, Doug. What usually happens on a deal like that, you know, is that, like you say, people get back and they support you, and everybody's supporting and going to be helpful, and everybody else is going to step it up because they know what he's going through and what his son is going through. So, I think Iowa will be okay, but you know, it's another situation too. It's a life story where, you know, we all have things that happen and life moves on. You know, so it's a
well. Best of luck there.
Yeah.
To Iowa. Also, Daniel DeShazer, just as we finished up with Coach Morris, one of his football players, a wrestler, he has been named a Division II Academic All-American first team. UNK had 10 wrestlers make the Academic All-American squad. Mark Fiala and Daniel DeShazer were on the first team. As we go into our final break, let us do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That is the phone number. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, then you are eligible. Jimmy, I'm going to throw one out here. I don't know that there's any way I would have ever got this right. But there are three teams in this year's field of 68 that are making the NCAA tournament for the 28th time and have never won the national title. I'm going to say name any of those three teams. First correct caller at 888-455 ESPN, 888-455-3776. Name one of the three teams that is in this year's field going for the 28th time that has never won a national title. And we'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham's next.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow, I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
Eat fresh.
Use your Home Depot consumer credit card and get 10% off or up to 24-month special financing on all flooring right now. No more maybe or one day or let's wait and see. Carpet, tile, hardwood, vinyl, or laminate. Now, the floor is yours. Let's do this. Save 10% or get special financing with your Home Depot credit card on any flooring purchase. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through March 19th. U.S. only, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details.
College basketball is heating up, and there's one place for all the madness. Get to Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games. Watch all the hoops on tons of huge HD TVs and get awesome game time food. Try the pretzel dogs or the Mountain O' Nachos. Plus, there are always new games in the Midway. Visit bestsportsbarever.com to find the Dave & Buster's location nearest you and get free gameplay. Dave & Buster's, the only place to watch the games and play the games.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Let the madness begin.
Three down, Burke with the ball. 8 seconds. Collision. Burke, a very long three. Oh, my. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Wow. We're tied with 4 seconds.
The 2014 NCAA tournament is on. Westwood One. From the first round to the Final Four, all the action is right here.
Starting tonight at 5:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A wind advisory goes in effect for our area today as we'll see more clouds developing, along with a chance for some rain showers. Could mix it with some snow as we get into the afternoon. Temperatures stay in the low to mid-40s for highs. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 37.
$100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my
my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town.
Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's. Congratulations to Matt from Kearney. He knew that one of the teams that had been in for the 28th time and has not won a national title is Kansas State. BYU and Oklahoma also in 28 times. Jimmy, you got Kansas State. You guessed three and you got one of them right.
Yeah, I guessed Texas. I'm really surprised they aren't in there. But the other one I had was Kansas State. And then I put down Memphis. Did Memphis win a national championship or they just haven't been in there that many times?
Yeah, I think they might have won the national championship.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah. I think they might have won it. But I had Oklahoma and I put down Oklahoma State. Also, but they used to be Oklahoma and A&M when Hank Abbott was coaching them. I think they won a national championship maybe there at one time, right?
Well, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Mike Perenio is scheduled to join us from the Mandalay Bay to preview the NCAA tournament from a Vegas perspective. We've got a few other guests that we're going to be talking with. Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World-Herald later on this week. We're going to catch up with a couple of Nebraska wrestlers, Austin Wilson of Hastings, that are leaving today to go out to the NCAA championships that are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Cleveland. So we haven't forgot our Division I wrestling fans out there because that mixes in as well. You can watch the wrestling, and they're getting even more prime time now on ESPN, Jimmy, I think, which tells me that not only is wrestling not, quote, dying, it is strengthening itself because that's why it's on the main channel at ESPN this weekend, not only the finals, but some semifinal action as well.
Yeah, you know, Doug, you're right. One thing about TV is whatever the interest is, they're going to have it on TV. You know, if the people are interested, they're not going to force something on somebody. I mean, to me, I'm surprised that, you know, when I turn on the TV and I'm getting ready to watch an NFL game and all of a sudden I see a bunch of cars driving around, you know, and I'm going, oh, but, you know, there's a fan interest there that's very interested in that, you know, and if you're talking about sports that are dying, I don't think bowling is moving up the ladder right now. You know what I mean?
What you're talking about, Willis?
Yeah, you know, you don't see that a lot on TV right now. When I was a kid, every once in a while, that would be on TV. But it seems to me like, you know, college football and pro football is definitely and this March Madness is going to be on. They've had hockey on, you know, so, yeah, there's a lot of sports that are on TV and people are interested in a lot of different sports.
Also tomorrow, Mark Bauer to recap the UNK wrestling season and some of the awards we talked about and having a national champion. So he'll join us tomorrow as well. That's all coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, of course, we will be back to the Cunninghams where we are at today. We were here yesterday. We're going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which leads us right into the NCAA tournament on Thursday and Friday. By the way, Memphis has been in the tournament 20 times but has not won a title, Jimmy.
Okay, so good deal. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I'll look up some other ones, too. That was a good trivia question. I enjoyed that.
Do you have your official bracket filled out yet?
No, I've got it down pretty much to the final four, but I keep switching. You know, I don't know what to do with San Diego State. I want mine to be different than the average person. You know, I've got San Diego State as my four. A lot of other people have got Louisville and Michigan State as their four. Uh-huh. You know, I kind of went with San Diego State as a four. I'm still going with
because you like them all year.
Yeah, and I like Kansas when they're healthy. You know, I do like Wichita State a little bit more than I like what they did in last year's tournament. That alone, there's some things that people have done. That alone is very important to me. You know, and then we were talking about some upsets and some people. You know, is it Stephen F. Austin? Is that the team that people were talking about? You know, I looked up. They beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma. Not this year, but last year. You know what I mean? So I'm doing a little research on Stephen F. Austin. And, you know, they've won some games, you know, in the last couple of years. It makes them pretty tough, too. So I kind of like them a little bit. But, boy, it's hard to pick a Stephen F. Austin and go really long with them because you're going to have the only ticket.
Well, here's one for you. The first bracket that I filled out last night, which is not my official bracket, is I did take Florida to win it all. And I did, you know, you always take a couple of weird ones out there. For no reason, I took Danny Manning and Tulsa to win two because everybody's talking Stephen F. Austin. Maybe it'll be Tulsa, although I think UCLA is playing really good right now. I know that last night on that bracket that I did not make a copy of, Tulsa was one of the teams that I kind of threw out there, and I took Creighton pretty deep as well. So,
you know, the one I think, the 8-9 game, which they should be coin flips.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, if you're trying to win the contest, Kansas State over Kentucky. you will have 88% of the people, almost 8 out of 9 people, will pick Kentucky, I think, in that game now. So, I mean, that's one that, I mean, you're going to get away from everybody else. The Gonzaga-Oklahoma State game, I think, will be 50-50. I think the Colorado-Pittsburgh game, people will probably lean towards Pittsburgh. And then in your George-Washington-Memphis game, it's a coin flip.
Yeah, because nobody knows anything about either one of them.
There you go.
There you go. Folks, that's going to wrap things up for today's Doug and Daddy show. I hope that we got to everything that we needed to get to today. And don't forget, tonight, here on ESPN Radio, and, of course, on True TV, and you can watch it right here at Cunningham's, every NCAA tournament game. It is the play-in games. The 16 seeds, Albany, plays Mount St. Mary's at 5:40. The winner will then get Florida on Thursday. That'll be followed by North Carolina State and Xavier. That will tip somewhere around 8:10 tonight. And the winner of the North Carolina State-Xavier game will get St. Louis in the tournament. Then tomorrow, Cal Poly plays Texas Southern, and Iowa takes on Tennessee. I want to thank Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com for joining us today, as well as UNK football coach Daryl Morris. Tomorrow, as we said, Mark Bauer, UNK Wrestling, for our Loper Link. We'll also catch up with Mike Perenio of the Mandalay Bay, and I believe Dirk Chatelain will be sliding in tomorrow as well for more on Nebraska and Creighton. Jimmy, can't wait to get those brackets filled out.
Can't wait till this tournament starts. This is going to be exciting.
But Dirk has just confirmed for Thursday, so we'll do Dirk Thursday, and we'll have another guest tomorrow to talk Husker basketball. And we're also not going to forget Creighton, looking for a Louisiana beat writer, which there aren't quite as many of those, to talk about that side of the coin. So from Cunningham's, be sure to join us the rest of the week here at Cunningham's. Come on in. Enjoy some lunch today. They still have some great St. Patrick's Day special food items, not leftover, fresh, because they're doing the 17 days of St. Patty's Day, because one day isn't enough. For Jim Lang and I'm Doug Duda, enjoy the opening day of the NCAA tournament.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game